It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, October 28th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Olathe Volunteer Fire Department hosted its 12th annual Punkin' Chunkin' Festival over the weekend. KVNF's Laura Palmisano was there.
That's the sound of a pumpkin being launched out of an air cannon. Olathe Volunteer Fire Chief Kyle St. Jean explains how the machine works.
All of the air cannons work off of compressed air. We have industrial air compressors that supply what's usually a propane tank. We build those to anywhere from 20 to 100 PSI, depending on how hard the pumpkins are to launch those.
Olathe's Fire Department puts on the Punkin' Chunkin' event. St. Jean says it's the department's only fundraiser.
We do two competitions. We break those machines up into the mechanical, which is trebuchets or catapults, and into air cannons. We do that for accuracy, and we also do it for distance.
Daniel Ortega is with Thunder Mountain, Colorado Living History, a reenactment group.
All you're going to hear from ours is just a bunch of grumping and grinding and metal or wood moving.
Ortega and his companions are operating a trebuchet. Ortega explains how the device fires.
This is worked on a counterweight system. Your throwing arm is axled up at the very top, and then on the bottom of your throwing arm, you have your counterweight. So as the counterweight falls, it actually makes a nice swinging motion. As the counterweight falls, the sling actually comes up. It lets loose as it comes around, just like an old-fashioned slingshot.
And now Ortega gives a brief history lesson.
The trebuchet was invented around 1000 BC by the Chinese. Made its way across Europe. They've been used all over. They're built usually on site at a siege.
He says trebuchets were made on site because it wasn't easy to transport them.
But yeah, they're very, very simple weapon, but a lot of different things can change how it throws. You can make almost straight shots, or you can lob shots over walls.
Ortega says he likes bringing the wooden machine to events like Punkin' Chunkin' so people can see it in action.
Anytime you throw something, it's always a good time. We usually throw bowling balls the rest of the year, but pumpkins are fun because they smash and explode.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Wow! Although it's been years since the housing bubble burst, its ripples are still being felt. The Galloping Goose looks like it might have to cut some service in San Miguel County. The bus route runs from Telluride out to Norwood and Down Valley. Lynn Black, the county administrator, says it's a popular service.
It is, particularly with long distances that commuters have to traverse, especially in the winter. We have really good ridership from the Norwood area. We have good ridership on the Down Valley buses.
The route cuts come down to what it almost always comes down to, money.
Well, the transit relies on real estate transfer assessments that are generated when a house sells in certain subdivisions. Since the real estate market for the past 5 years has not been selling very well, we have lost quite a bit of revenue. In the last 2 years, though, we have received CDOT grants for operational costs, and those have helped us keep afloat a little bit. We have been running through our reserves quite quickly, keeping the service up, and for next year, we've decided that we need to make some cuts of about $50,000. I will probably be making a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners to cut one of the Down Valley routes in the morning and one of the Down Valley routes in the evening.
Black says she hopes the grants will continue to cover the transit line until revenue picks back up. And finally, with early voting well underway, Colorado's gubernatorial candidates staked out their positions one last time during their eighth and final debate hosted by KCNC Channel 4 and Colorado Public Television last Friday night. As Benta Berkland reports, among the routine topics, things got heated up over the issue of public safety.
With the race between Governor John Hickenlooper and Republican Bob Beaupre still too close to call, both campaigns are flooding the airwaves with TV ads ahead of November 4th. One from Beaupre referencing the death of Department of Corrections Chief Tom Clements was singled out.
My intention still is to raise a serious question about John Hickenlooper's failed record on public safety. I think that needs to be a governor's first responsibility, is to protect and defend the safety of the citizens. And on my watch, that will absolutely be a priority. I never intended to offend Lisa.
Lisa is Tom Clements' widow. She asked Beau Pray to remove the reference to her husband's death from the ad, which he did. Hickenlooper says Clements was a close friend, and the ad crossed the line.
And I do think that invoking his death for political purposes, I'm still dumbfounded. And I know it was difficult not just for Lisa and her two daughters, but for everyone.
A parolee killed Clements after spending most of his prison time in solitary confinement. Hickenlooper said Clements had been working hard to reduce the number of people in solitary.
We're down to a couple hundred people now, and no one being released directly to the public. So the problem that was being raised has been solved.
But Beaupre says the difficulties with administrative segregation still exist.
All he did was turn those in ADSEG back into the general prison population, and guess what? Prisoner-on-prisoner violence is up. Our streets aren't safer.
The two candidates also touched on the death penalty, transportation, and energy development. On that topic, Hickenlooper says he's confident his oil and gas task force will come up with recommendations that give lawmakers guidance on ways to reduce public concern over fracking.
Through electrical drilling and rubber grommets, it can be quiet. We shroud it so there's not light. And then once the well is drilled, we make sure there are gauges so that the water and air is clean, and that we can really guarantee that that there are no harmful effects to that dwelling.
In fact, Hickenlooper says energy development is one area that he's bucked Democrats.
Many in my party feel that hydraulic fracturing or any kind of hydrocarbon extraction is dangerous and should be banned. But oil and gas, especially that natural gas, is a transition fuel that's going to get us to a cleaner future.
But Beaupre says the task force is the wrong approach because it extends uncertainty around energy development. He says the public should have had a chance to decide on two anti-fracking ballot initiatives backed by Democratic Congressman Jared Polis. Polis pulled them when Hickenlooper created the task force as a compromise.
What he wanted to do is get these draconian extreme measures off the ballot so he and Mark Udall didn't have to deal with them in their reelection campaigns. And he was caving in, capitulating to Jared Polis. What should have been done, especially in this 2014 year, was to defeat these measures soundly.
Beaupre has gone back and forth on this topic. He said in earlier interviews that he's glad the measures aren't on the ballot. As for going against his own party, Beaupre says he'll take a more modest stance when it comes to illegal immigration.
Some in my party have been a little strident on the question of illegal immigration. I think it's time we all face facts that we're a better nation than this and a better state than this, and we need to find a solution to that long-standing problem.
At the end of the hour-long debate, both men made their closing statements, starting with Congressman Beaupre.
You know, a governorship is a terrible thing to waste. And in a very serious way, that's why I'm in this. I want to provide opportunity to this great state that it's always provided to me. I don't want to run your life. I want you to have the freedom to run your own life. I don't want to run your family or your small business, but I want you to have the freedom and the liberty to do that for yourself. That's what will guide me every single day.
And here's Hickenlooper.
4 years ago, we had a $1 billion shortfall in the state budget. We were 40th in job creation. 4 years later, we've come back, and we are now have gone from 40th to 4th. We have a $650 million rainy day fund. We've had 35 consecutive months of job growth. That's the most since 1996.
And that's the final word in front of a televised audience from the last gubernatorial debate this election season. I'm Benta Berkland.
Thank you for your support during the fall membership drive. We're closing in on $50,000. You can get us there. Go to kvnf.org and support community radio. Up next, Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.